Well done. Didn't they do an awesome job? Okay, now we have a really short video I want you to look at for a second. It's going to be looping, so you're going to have lots of chances. I'm going to ask you some questions about it. Do you see it? That was the first question, and you failed. Do you see it? Of course you do. Okay, now what's happening? Okay, there's a bunch of boats up there. They're floating around, but what do the boats have in common? They're swirling, okay? What do they have in common? Think about it. Okay, they're on anchor, but first of all, let's look at what's moving them. What's moving them? The wind, right, is coming from different directions. As the wind comes from different directions, it pulls the boat around, correct? Right? They all have the wind in common. They all have something else in common, and you guys mentioned the anchor, but what is the anchor to? The bottom, right? The bedrock. They are anchored to something that's solid. And the thing that is connecting them and holding them fast in the wind is the bedrock. But what connects them to the bedrock? The anchor rope is what's keeping them, holding them fast. What happens if they lose anchor? Okay, the boats themselves will drift out of harbor and go wherever or crash into one another, and we have all experienced that, right? Today we're going to talk about these storms of life that are coming in and the anchor that holds us fast and how important it is that we stay anchored there. You can turn it off now because listen, we just sang a ton of different promises about God. We reminded ourselves of so much truth. And is it true? Absolutely. It is true. But here's what I see happen in the church. We know and we sing and we say truth, but then life happens. The storms roll in and we don't quite know how to apply that truth to this storm. And the storm might be huge, catastrophic, or it might be like a dumb inconvenience, and it throws us off course. And so today we're going to talk about how, because we know we're supposed to be anchored to that truth, right? Right? We know it. We know we should be. We feel guilty that we're not, but we don't always know how. So that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we anchor ourselves to the unchanging, never-ending, awesome power of God for everyday life? But before we go there, I want to stop and pause for a second because I think it's still Thanksgiving. Because we didn't have our Thanksgiving dinner yet. That's today. And so you guys have already moved on to Christmas. But I just want you to pause for just a second and stop and think, why do you think Thanksgiving, by the sovereignty of God and not by some Congress however many years ago, is placed right before we enter this crazy season of Christmas? I really believe it's for us to stop and get ourselves anchored before we go into there so that we can remember what is true, so that we can face the storm that is about to come anchored into truth. Because the timing is right before, and many times in the coming season, and you and I know this, we know people who are going to into the most despairing time of the year. The most discontented time of the year. And so this is the perfect day for us to stop and remember how to anchor so that we can be content, so that we can be thankful for who we are and what we have. And who we have, instead of looking at all the things that we don't. Let's pause before we start, and let's ask. I've been asking all morning, God, but Abby said, do we sing that song, I Need You, Oh, I Need You? Yeah, it's like my theme song. Like, I need you so much, God, because I cannot do anything that he's called me to do, I can't do in my own strength. And I know that. I learned that one a long time ago. So I'm just going to throw down the anchor right now, and I'm going to ask God to do the work, okay? Because I can stand up in here and talk. Bob said, will you stand up and talk? I can do that. But God himself has to be the one that teaches us. So could all of us, every man and woman in the room right now, bow our head and ask the God of all creation to teach our hearts? Could you do that? You ask him. Ask him to teach you. Father, I thank you that everything that you have ever called me to do, you also have enabled me to do. And so I anchor myself to that truth right now, in this moment. Yes, I feel nervous, but I thank you that my confidence is in you, that my competence comes from you. And so I ask, in the name of God, the holy, awesome, never-changing God, that you would teach us today. The things we're going to look at, they go against our human reasoning. Honestly, we rebel against them. So I ask that you would soften our hearts. I ask that you would open the doors of our hearts, that we would receive what you have said. Not anything that Vicky has to say, but what you and your word says. Lord, you are our life, our freedom, our salvation, and we need you. Speak, Lord. Speak, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Whew, I'm feeling very nervous. I think it must be because Abby's family is here, and they're very scary, especially Danny. No, it's really cool because of running a summer camp. We had the chance to get to know Abby and her siblings years and years before I knew the blessing of her as my daughter-in-law. And honestly, that is one of my great blessings in life, is my daughter-in-laws and my son-in-law too. Where is he? He's hiding. Oh, man, because, wow, what a huge blessing. There's a little box there in your bulletin, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to read it. That's why I put it in there. But that's just some research has been done in the world of science to show what happens to the human mind and body and whole person when they become grateful. Yeah, I'm going to. Don't worry. I'm going to introduce David later. That's what Bobby asked me to. Okay, let's do it now since we stopped. Okay, where is David? I'm looking for him. Oh, here he is. Oh, David, would you stand up? David's name is in the bulletin. This David Spavero, did I say it correctly? Right. So, you say elder? He doesn't look like an elder, does he? No, but the Bible has specific qualifications, and Bob and the elder team have agreed with Bob that David meets those qualifications. And so that is what we're asking, that you would come and you would say, yes, we approve of these men that you have approved of. Okay, so now you have a face. Come and ask him any question. Come and ask him, you know, to quote scripture or, you know, no, give whatever you want to ask him. Okay. All right, now I have your name written, so later if I introduce you again, okay, yeah, okay. All right, so that's what science says in that book, right? See that little box there under with the prayer request thing? That's what science has said will happen to the mind and the body and even the spirit of the human being who decides that they will have a grateful heart. It changes everything about who they are. And we know that it's true, and moms have known it for a long time. Stop whining. Stop whining about what you don't have and be thankful for what you do, right? Because why do moms do that? Because we know that when we are whining about what we don't have, we forget to see what we do. Because our focus is all wrong and it causes all kinds of havoc in our mind and in our bodies. So if that is what science says, if that is what science proves, so that's kind of cool that is catching up with what the Bible has said all along. Let's look at what God says. Now, later in this lesson, by the way, some people call it a sermon, but since I'm a woman and Bob has asked me to teach, it's not a sermon, it's a lesson. Okay? Anyway, you didn't find that humorous. I did. Okay. But we're going to look at so many scriptures piled on top of each other. So you're not going to have time to turn to them. Okay. So take my word for it that they're in the Word of God and they're in your bulletin so you can find them later, but they're going to be on the wall right now. Let's read them. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 3:15, that the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Did somebody say grateful? Mitch, was that you? Mitch. Be thankful. Psalm 69:30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in. In all circumstances. I almost said circumcisions. That's not the right word. That's weird. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 4, 5, verse 4 and 20. And there's so much awesome truth in between there too, but just we're going to read that. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And then verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How, who's catching up with who? Who said first to have a grateful heart? Who said first to be thankful? God did. In the Word of God, the Bible told us to be thankful thousands of years ago. And now science is saying, hey, maybe we should be thankful. It's good for us. It's good for us to be thankful. But to be truthful, in the culture, present day culture, probably more than any in human history, we are very poor at giving thanks. I believe that. I think we are so focused on what we don't have. And we are very focused on the hardship that we do have, and we're grumbling about it. So it's like we're out of practice. So today we're going to pause before I introduce David. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to pause because we're out of practice like poor mannered children. Okay? So I want you to think of one thing that you are thankful for to God. Did you just get the message you're supposed to be thankful? And it's not, didn't have anything to do with turkey. Okay? It's about being thankful to the Indians? No, it's about being thankful to God. Hi, Arissa. Welcome. So let's do it. I would like you to pray, and I'd like you to stop right now, and in your heart, turn your heart towards God, focus on one thing that you have, and thank him for it. Okay? Let's do it. Let's pray. You're not waiting for me to pray. You're praying because you have been given access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to thank him. Thank you, God. Thank you. Is that legal to pray two prayers so close together in church? It's okay? Okay. All right. Just looking around, making sure. Okay. All right. So, remember that thing where we read, it said, in all circumstances, give thanks in all circumstances, and then always keep thanking because this is God's will for you, right? This is a command. Some people call this the impossible command. To give thanks in all circumstances. And I know some men and women who are so good, and I might be one of them, of giving thanks in the circumstances that seem big and overwhelming. But then the little stuff that happens, like my husband snores, it's like, if he was up here, he would say, guess what he would say? You're the one that snores. That's what he would say, right? But I learned a little while ago that if even as a wife, if I would in that moment stop and say, God, thank you, that there is someone lying beside me snoring in this moment. Because what's the alternative? Something I don't want, right? So, and you're saying, what, he stopped snoring? No. Anyway, so to give thanks in all circumstances. Here we go. This is the way that I have experienced how to connect to the bedrock. To give thanks in all circumstances. It's a way to make a connection between my theology, what I believe about God, and what I say I believe about God, connect all of that to my actual life, to my reality. Connect my theology to my reality. It's the way we do it. To what I, it's my way of helping me to connect what is I know in my head to what I have in my hands. God, every perfect gift, every good gift is from you. The God who is perfect and has granted me all of these gifts, they're from you. It's a way to connect. It's a way to help me connect what I have in my head, my theology, to what I face out there. Whether whatever that is, whatever kind of brokenness or hardship or inconvenience or delay or all that stuff, to connect who God is to that actual wind. That's what today is about. So what are we trying to connect to? Real quick. If I would say this, I would say, God is, how would you answer that? How would you finish that sentence? I actually want you to do it. So somebody start over here. God is good. God is good. Is that true? Will it always be true? Will there ever be anything that will make that untrue? You sure? Okay, that is bedrock. God is good. And the Bible says all his ways are good. Now, if you're a thinking person who is actually being honest with your own thoughts, you're thinking, well, I can think of some things that haven't been so good. Thus the wind and the waves. But we're getting distracted. Okay, so God is good. What else? God is faithful. God is faithful. What's that mean? Consistent. Always present, always, 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 never changing like shifting shadows. Faithful, reliable, undeniably true. Bedrock. Okay? God is. It's not your turn over here yet. God is. Love. God is love. Hi, George. How are you feeling? Good, good. God is love. I'm sorry, I get a little distracted. Squirrel. Yeah. God is love. Is there anything that would ever change God's love for me? Are you sure? Is there anything that will ever separate me from God's love? How about a sin? How about someone else's sin? How about disease? Well, do I always feel like it's loving? No, I don't. And yet, is it true? The never-ending, unchanging, what was the word, radical or reckless? What's reckless about? Because what God takes that kind of love and he lavishes it on me. I don't deserve that kind of love. I don't. That's what's so reckless about it. He gives it freely to the people who don't deserve it. Okay, so he is love. What else? Now over here. God is everything. God is, where is he? Everywhere present. God is, let's talk about his power. All-powerful. Yeah, I kind of gave you that one. He's all-powerful. Is there anything that's too hard for God? Is there anything God doesn't know? Oh, whoops, I missed that. Has that ever happened to him? Oh, I forgot to pay attention. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Has God ever mentioned or felt that way at all, ever? Okay, so this is the bedrock we're talking about. That is who we need to connect to. So when the storm comes, when the disease comes, when people sin against us or betray us or don't treat us quite the way we feel like we deserve, how do we connect to that? That God who totally is all of those things in a real way. How do we connect to what we know? Do you guys in this room, if we would compile all our knowledge of God, I think there's a decent amount of knowledge in here. We know a lot. But I don't know how many of us take that knowledge into every day. Don't you ever wonder when sometimes we sing this song, and when I think of singing, I think of that chair right there because I sit there to sing or stand there to sing. When I sing this song, and it's like this, a father, a grieving father writes these words. I mixed them up a little bit, so patience with me. Though Satan should buffet. It looks like it says, though Satan should buffet. What's the word buffet? Come against. Boom, boom, boom. Strong wind, tornado, gale force winds. Boom, boom, boom. Hammer me. Though trials should come, when trials like sea billows roll, are you getting the theme here? Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. What? No, it's not well. No, don't you see? The waves are buffeting me and I am a mess. And yet all those things that we said about God are still true, right? This stuff that hits us sideways that we didn't see coming, the relationships that are crumbling, the people that are despitefully using us. That stuff is like buffeting us. And how could he say, it is well with my soul? Or was he just faking? Because it's the churchy way to answer. The unchanging truth about God and who he says he is an anchor that holds me fast. It's an anchor that holds me fast. And Hebrews 6 talks about this anchor as an anchor to our soul. It's the hope in God and what he said and who he says he is. And those things, those two things put together, what he did for me and who he says he is, that is my anchor. And it's meant to give me hope instead of despair and peace instead of inner turmoil and confidence instead of fear. But how? Okay, good, Vicki. Now you know, then you told me I have an anchor. And I knew that one. I knew that he's there. I knew that he had all those things. But how do I really connect my anchor to him? Here's the answer. We do it by faith. Oh. Okay. By faith, we do it by faith. So here is what I want to illustrate it. And this is what I think Jesus did it on. Remember that day when he's sitting there with all these disciples and they're eating the food and everything like that. And he takes this piece of bread and he lifts it up and he says, I give thanks for this bread. Remember? Remember that? Sometimes we celebrate it. What do we call it? We call it, come on, at least more than five of you are still awake. We call it communion. It's where we enter into what he did for us. We remember and we enter into his suffering. And we remember and we give thanks for it. But think about what he was doing. He took the bread and he lifted it up and he said, God, thank you. Was he talking about the bread? He was talking about what was about to happen. He was talking about all that he was about to take on. Thanks for the suffering. Thanks for the death. Thanks for taking on myself the sins of everyone who has ever lived and everyone who ever will live. Thanks, God. I lift up myself to you and I say thanks. You know what's about to happen. Do you think, because we look back, do you think he knew? Do you think Jesus knew what he was really saying thank you for? Absolutely. He absolutely knew, and yet he said thank you. Because he could, and if you're filling in the blanks, somebody this morning said, well, I know who's teaching because there's blanks to fill in. Because that's me. I think when we write things down, we remember them better. So I encourage you to write this down. He looked past the pain to the promise. Because if he would have focused on God, what is going to happen? And he so did that in the garden. And remember, he almost gave into it. And then he said, God, not my will, but yours be done. He could do that because he was anchored to the all-powerful, sovereign, loving God. So he could look past the pain to the promise, to the power of God that would raise him from the dead. If he knew he was going to die, do you think he knew he was going to be raised? Come on. Come on. I am not the only one that's going to sweat over this lesson. He knew that God had the power to. And you know what? It's not in my notes, but just think about this. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, where is it? It's in us. It's alive and it's living in us. So we know we have that power. We know who he is and we know where he is and we know who we are in him. He looked past the pain to the joy he would have. What joy? What joy would he have? Hi, joy. Yeah, not just that joy, but who's the joy? Doing his Father's will was the joy, but he knew that he had to do this in order to redeem, own it, in order to redeem me, in order to redeem me. And that's what Hebrews 12 says, right? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the horror of the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he anchored his soul to the truth. And the truth that if he didn't die, he would not be able to purchase eternal life for me. So what was he focused on? So he lifts up himself and he says, thank you, thank you. Now here we go. This is a great example that thanks isn't only about good things, right? Thanks isn't, I mean, anybody can say thank you, God, for the good things. And that's what we all did around our Thanksgiving table probably. We all thank God for the good things. But what is Jesus thanking God for? The chance to die. It's not about thanking God for the, because if that's all there is, then there is no wind. We don't need much of an anchor. But when things are hard and we suffer loss and our hearts break, it's then that we desperately need an anchor, and he is there for us. So I say again, how do we connect ourselves, the circumstances of our life, to the bedrock of who God is? How? If you were listening, I already gave you one word. It tells us how. Bob was listening. Starts with a F and ends with a F. And has an A in between. Faith. What is it? Faith. By faith. By faith in him and in what he says. And I have a question now, and I do want your feedback, because here we go. If the answer isn't faith, if the answer isn't, okay, God, by faith I anchor myself to who you are because I don't see you in this. If the answer isn't faith, then what is the alternative? What's the alternative? What's the opposite of fear? I mean, what's the opposite of fear? Faith. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. Give me some more words. Anxiety. Stress. Come on, more. Doubt. Driving, oh, I gotta fix it. I gotta control it. I gotta change it. I mean it. Instead of by faith, I anchor myself there. When the result of all of those things, fear, anxiety, stress, out of control, what's the result? How's that look? Compared to our illustration. Use the illustration. Stick with the nautical theme. What's it look like? Chill. No, George, those lines are horizontal. I mean vertical, and I learned a long time ago not to do that. Okay. Chaos, but do it nautical. Think nautical. What's it look like? Yeah, yes, say that again. Who was that? Was that Bob or his father-in-law? Bob, it was probably him. Okay, what? Blown and tossed by the waves, by the wind of every sea, every kind of doctrine. Well, it doesn't look like God is good, so he must not be good. And it doesn't look like they're going to ever do right, and so they probably won't. And I was probably a horrible parent, and what, and may, and... Has anybody ever been there? I think we call it a meltdown, right, or something like that. As opposed to faith. That's what, as opposed to faith. So by faith, I anchor myself to this great God. In this terrible or just really just inconvenient circumstance. And what is the expression of our faith? When I was just out of high school, I heard this lesson that changed my life, and it's this lesson right here. The expression of our faith. If we could take our faith and make it a language, well, if we could take our love for God and make it a language, this is a side note, if we could take our love for God and make it a language, you know what the language would be? Obedience. The language would be obedience. The words would be, yes, Lord. That's the language of love. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's another lesson. What is the language of faith? The language of faith is gratitude. And the words of faith are these two little words. Guess what they are? Thank you. Thank you is the language of faith. The language of faith is thank you. God, the storm is raging. God, they betrayed me. God, they're speaking ill of me. God, this didn't work out the way I planned. God, thank you. Thank you, God. That's the language of faith. It's the declared faith in his unfailing love for me. I declare it. It's true. You still love me. Declared confidence in his goodness towards me. Clinging to the assurance that he is faithful and true and wise. See, some of us, we say, I could never say thank you to God because he just must be confused. He doesn't know how to use this in my life. We wouldn't say those words, but we do sort of believe it. Thank you says, God, I know you're good. I don't just know you're good. I believe you're good. I trust you. You are good. That's not so good, but you are good. Thank you. And thank you that you are able to complete in me the work that you started. And thank you that you're able to work in the hearts and the lives of those that I love. Come on, parents, are you sitting here and you feel maybe despair? You don't have faith. You might feel despair. Maybe even in your marriage, maybe towards some, you feel like it's never going to turn around. To say, God, I thank you. That you are able, that you love me, that you are good, that you know everything. I thank you. Turn in your Bibles. Take your Bibles if you have them and turn to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Ay, 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 look at the time. Okay. Don't turn there because I'm going to read it. Okay, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there it goes, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will take away the storm, will cure the disease, and will shield you from pain that humanity faces every day. Is that what it says? No. Is that our promise? Come on, is that our promise? He will take away the storm, he will cure the disease, and he will shield you from all the pain that humanity faces today. No, that is not our promise yet. That promise is coming. We have that promise, but we don't experience it yet. Yet, 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 yet. What do we have now? This is the promise now. And the peace of God, which transcends, goes past all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because with thanksgiving, I took my request to God. With thanksgiving, I had this need, and I took it to God with not just, God, fix it. God, what am I taking it with? With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? The peace of God will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus because I'm anchored to the unchanging truth of who God is. God, even in this, I can still be thankful. Thankful, before we go any further, some of you are wrestling and you're like, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. Thankful doesn't mean I like it. I'm not asking you. God is not asking when he gives us this command to like it. It doesn't mean I want this to continue. Please bring more. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that somebody didn't sin. Now, before theology check here for a second, does God sin? Does God call anyone to sin? Say it again, real loud. No. If sin is the storm, it wasn't because God caused the sin. Joseph, he looked at his brothers who massively sinned against him and said, "You meant this for evil, but God used it for good." It doesn't mean that somebody didn't sin or that something doesn't need to be worked on. Oh, I'm just a victim, but it's the way God wants it. Sometimes I need to work. Sometimes I need to have a hard talk with somebody. Sometimes I need to go back and repent. There's some things that I need to do, but I need to be thankful to God as I do it. Here's what it does. It does remind me of what is true. Thank you that you know how to use this for my good and for your glory. Thank you that you will reward and restore and renew me when the time is right. Thank you that you can always triumph over sin. The sins that I do and the sins that are done to me and to those that I love. Those are the kickers right there, the sins to those that I love. When falsely accused, thank you that you are my just, we sang it this morning, my just God, my defender. When tempted, thank you that you always give me a way of escape. Thank you. When hurt or misunderstood, thank you that you have overcome evil and you taught me how to overcome evil with good. Thank you. I just can't tell you that there are some times, ask Bob, there are some times that I am like, whoa, all over the place. And then God gives me this anchor and it's miraculous. It's so nothing that I could ever do. But just where I can be still and trust in my good, all-powerful, loving God. And that's not just for me. That's for everyone who has been born of this God that gave his life for us, that said, thank you that I could redeem them at such a great price. He did that, not just so you could go to heaven, but so that you could have peace in your soul, in your mind, and in your heart, that it would guard you. Thank you. With confidence, I reach for the solid rock, and I say thank you. Thank you that you are God. I don't have to be. Thank you that you know what you're doing with my life. Thank you. I trust you. We're back to some blanks. I trust you. I rest in you. I thank you. Now, let's apply this. You ready? Because honestly, you know by now, right, that this isn't some kind of performance. Let's see how Vicky does today. Go somewhere else if that's what you need. This is about application. Okay? Today, who? This is just you totally look in your own heart. Right now, in this moment, don't think of the person beside you or who somebody else should be working on. Who do you need to release to God? You've been trying to change them. Maybe they've hurt you. They've caused you hurt. They might be continuing to hurt you. Stop trying to control and manipulate and change them. We sang about a prison break. It's time for prison break from the bitterness that that person or that organization or that church or that caused you. Open your hand. God, thank you that you are powerful even in this hard relationship. Thank you that you will give me wisdom to do my part. Thank you that I don't have to do yours, only mine. So that's the who. What hard, unexplained suffering do you need to lift up to him? And some of you are in the middle of this incredible storm, right in the middle of it. Do you need to lift that up to God and say, God, I'm breaking free of the fear and the anxiety and the what if and the when and the what if and the when. And I'm saying, God, thank you that you are good even in this. I beg you, please think about what God wants to do in you and anchor to him. And how? Here is where some of you are. How will I continue? I'm done. I'm spent. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I don't know how to go on. And you're telling me to thank God? Correction. I'm not telling you to thank God. He is telling you to thank him. And I have experienced this as I'm literally walking towards something that I cannot do. God, I thank you. Thank you. I don't have to do this on my own. Thank you for this opportunity. God, thank you that you're God, because I know that for right now I am weak. Experience the joy of your salvation again. Thank you that you are in me and that you are my strength when I am weak. And I rest myself in you. I rest myself in you and all you are and all you are in me. And I thank you. And it is well with my soul. Are you ready? I told Bob on the way here, I could so teach a second lesson right now, because I know right now all the things that you're wrestling with that you don't want to say thank you to God for. By faith, follow in the steps of the one who gave his life for you. Open your hands, trust him, and say thank you. Let's do it. Do it right now, whether it's thank you for who, thank you for what, or thank you for how. How will I call out to that God that you say that you believe in and say thank you to him? Father, I pray that your people who are called by your name would be identified with as people who are grateful, that we would shine like stars in the universe because we're not so stressed that we have forgotten you. We are not in so much of a hurry that we forgot to notice who you are and who we are in you. God, that's what the Bible says unbelievers are, ungrateful. God, that's not what we want to be. Make us a congregation, a family of people who see all that you have done and all that you are and anchor our souls to that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, you know, as you go out, that thankfulness is not a one-time deal. It's an every moment kind of a deal. Thankfulness. Okay.